It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And thank you to our sponsors, SeatSitters.com and Artistry by Annette. If you want glowing skin, Lynn and I have both had the hydrofacials from Annette, and it is amazing. It's like those, what are they called? The vampire facials that all the celebrities get?
Microneedling.
And, but this is like nano needling, so the needles are much smaller, so you don't get all that ucky redness, and there's no downtime. Like, I got a facial the day before my niece's shower, went to the shower the next day, and everybody was commenting on my glowing skin. So give Annette a call, 248-980-6235. All new clients get 20% off their first treatment. That's 248-980-6235. And of course, you can find all her information on our website, stacyandlynnpodcast.com. Boy, that was a lot of information, wasn't it?
A lot of good information, though.
Okay, so today we are talking about setting boundaries.
Yes, something that I am not good at.
Really?
No, I'm not good at that. And I even kind of had to look up, like, what does it really mean to set boundaries? Like,
okay.
What can you do? And I looked it up and it said, personal boundaries are guidelines, rules, or limits that a person creates to identify reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to behave towards them and how they will respond when someone passes those limits. And I think something that comes up or comes to mind right now that's really, you know, topical is just all this stuff with the Me Too and, you know, the Joe Biden thing about, you know, kissing a girl on the top of the head and smelling her hair and all this kind of stuff. And I guess that's like personal boundaries. So if that happened to you, you know, I guess what I don't understand is, I guess, if that happens to you, that's when you have to set the boundary. I mean, you don't meet people and say, hey, here's my boundaries, right?
Well, no. And it's funny because when you were reading that description, it got me thinking, like, I think a lot of us, like, internally set boundaries. Or I know if there are certain people, it's like, okay, here's my boundary with this person. The problem is when they cross it, how do you react?
Right.
Even if it's an inherent one, or one that you know, like I used to have a coworker who would come in every day and rub my shoulders.
Okay.
And I never asked him to, and it made me very uncomfortable. And it got to the point where I would move whenever he came in and, like, you know, to be like, no, my shoulders aren't available. And I had to think out if he did it again, was I going to say something, and what exactly would I say? Because I don't know if he knew it made me uncomfortable. So
right. So I'm going to guess you never said something.
I think I just moved enough that he stopped doing it. Like, maybe he got the message by me not making my shoulders available.
But let me ask you this, like, why, what would you have
Sorry,
said?
These shoulders are not available.
Shoulders are closed for business today.
It sounds so ridiculous, but
does it? I mean, I know, I bet a lot of people have been like, don't touch me, right?
Yeah.
But I think that my problem with setting boundaries is, in, you know, it's funny because also when I was looking things up, because when you suggested this topic, I was like, yeah, let's do that. I'm not good at it. And I'm probably the worst person to ask, you know, for advice on it, but it's a learning opportunity for me, as well as I'm sure many people listening. I mean, I can't be the only one out there that's not good at it. But it's like, I Googled this thing and about setting boundaries, and something that came up with was 10 steps to setting healthy boundaries.
Oh.
And from what you just touched on, it said, you know, don't make it personal, which means like, this isn't personal against the person, you know, which is the number one thing that stuck out to me on that list was that, because I always feel like I'm making the person feel bad.
Yes. And I do think that's a female thing.
Right.
Like, we don't ever want to make people feel bad, God forbid,
mm-hmm.
even if they're making us feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think that's why, and it's funny because you brought up the Me Too movement. In my opinion, that's why things got to where they are today, where that there had to be a movement,
mm-hmm.
because it's not like women were going along with it and enjoying the things they didn't like men doing all these years.
No.
It's just that women never wanted to make anybody feel bad.
Right.
So they never spoke up, hoping that by making our shoulders unavailable, men will get the hint.
Right.
But not everybody did.
No.
So that, to me, that's my own personal opinion on why the movement had to become a movement, just because some people can't read the signs.
Right. And I think it gives people, women especially now, obviously, a almost like a tool to use the
yes.
whole movement to say, you know, hey, you know, with what's going on in this climate, I really would prefer you not do that, or however they want to reference
well,
it.
Well, so think about it. If you grew up without a mother, or if your mother never talked to these things about you, and then suddenly you're out in the work world
mm-hmm.
and things are happening that make you uncomfortable, you don't know how to address them
mm-hmm.
because you've never learned.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I feel like the movement has given women a tool. It's made it out there so that there are young women who are like, oh, okay, I can say something,
mm-hmm.
which I think is valuable. When my daughter started her job, she's on this program. So her first rotation was going from store to store to store out in Minnesota where she works. And her boss told her, if you are ever in a store, because she had to talk to the managers there and the assistant managers, and somebody there makes you feel uncomfortable or says something that makes you feel uncomfortable, tell me immediately, we will reroute you.
Mm-hmm.
We will make, you will not have to call on that store again,
mm-hmm.
which I thought, wow, what a great boss.
Yeah.
And she did, in fact, go to a store, and one of the assistant managers, right away, he said he was from Africa. She had just been on semester at sea, visited two countries in Africa. She's like, oh, which ones? I've been to these two. So they talked about that. I think she thought she was trying to be friendly. He may have thought, oh, she's interested in me, and then asked her out,
mm-hmm.
which made her feel very uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
because this is supposed to be a professional relationship and it's her first job.
Right.
And it's like a month in.
Yeah.
So she was telling me about it, and I said, did you tell your boss? Are you going to not go back to that store? And she said, no, I'm going to deal with it. And she ended up telling that guy the next time he talked to her and asked her out again. She said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. This is a professional relationship. I didn't mean to give you the wrong impression, but, you know, I was just trying to be friendly and have a nice work environment. And he was, okay, fine. And
see, I think,
but then after that, his aisles were always a mess.
Oh, really? So that she had to clean up? Is that how it worked?
A little bit.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
but she handled it all on her own. Like, I was very impressed with her. She had the tools. She had the support. She had the fortitude. I don't think at her age I would have had the strength to do that.
You know what? I have an example of something that happened to me at her age and how I handled it, like, really. I handled it in a smart way, but not direct like her. There was this guy, and I just got a weird vibe from him. He was a potential client. And then, so I left the meeting, but then another guy called me out of the blue and said he wanted to meet with me, you know, he wanted me to come to his, it was like a garage like a repair shop.
Uh-huh.
And that he knew the other guy. And this was like a reference that, you know, he had gotten a reference for me from this other guy. And I just felt like something was not.
You were in
right.
sales.
Yeah, I was in
and
sales.
And so he's calling you like, hey, I got a potential.
Like, I'm a potential.
Advertiser.
Exactly. This
okay.
other guy gave me your name. And I'm like, I just felt something was wrong. So instead of me saying, you know, could we meet? Could you come to my office instead or something like that? I told a coworker of mine, a guy, that I just have a really bad feeling that something's, because the other original guy had kind of like made some, you know, like, I felt like he was kind of trying to ask me out, but
yeah.
I played dumb, I guess. And so the other coworker, who's a male, who I love, and he's a great guy, but he went with me. And when I walked in, the other guy walked right out of the back of this garage. Like, it was a setup.
Oh.
And my friend John took over like nobody's business. He's like, this was a setup. This is wrong. We're out of here. Lynn, get in the car. Well, I was like even scared of him doing that. Like, I felt like really bad. Like, I'm so sorry, you know? And I'm
yeah.
like, why am I apologizing? Why
yeah.
am I doing that? Why didn't I say, hey, you know, I got this. If I go in there and there's something wrong, I'm a grown woman, like, you know, like your daughter did and said, this is professional. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
But even here I am, you know, 25 years later, and I'm still kind of like not really strong with setting that. I just kind of let things slide, you know, because I don't want to make people feel bad.
Yeah. I don't think I let things slide. I think I'm very good at avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will just like, oh, I will never go back there again. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
I'm both very good.
Exactly.
I feel like this younger generation, like my daughter and her friends, are all much better at setting boundaries.
I agree.
Like, where did they get that skill? And I love that they do that.
Right.
Like, it makes me worry less about all of them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm always like, I used to say ever since, like, Grace was 10, no one's ever going to mess with her.
Yeah.
She does not back down. You know, if something's not right or something's bothering her, she, like, speaks her mind. More so than I do.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I don't think I've been the best role model for that. And that is something that my daughter learned on her own. God bless her. And, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm doing a better job of it than I think. Because mm-hmm. I think, like, I was thinking about it, like, I have a family member who... Every time I have a conversation with them, it always ends up with them saying, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Every single time.
Really?
Yes. And I finally am like, I can have a very pleasant, how are you conversation with this person, but it can't ever go any further. Mm-hmm. Because if I ever talk about anything, it's always, you shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody should ever tell anybody else.
No.
How to feel.
No, I agree.
But I was thinking, so like we set boundaries on like social media, like on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like there are some people who will comment on things to, in a way that made me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I will block them from seeing things.
Yep.
So we do, and you probably do that. I think you set more boundaries than you think
you
do.
But you know what? Also, I am an open book. And it takes, I say this all the time when someone will say like, no offense or hope I didn't. And I'm always like, it takes a lot to offend me. You know, when I was younger, I could get offended easy, you know, but nowadays it takes a lot too. I got a pretty thick skin, I think, you know, I actually make jokes if I think someone's offending me. Just to be clear,
mm-hmm.
Are you being mean or was that meant the way I took it? Because I just want to know.
Did you just call me hook eye?
Yeah, exactly. Like
on purpose?
I just want to know. I'm not offended. But I think like that's another thing like where I've never felt really like a lot of need to like really set boundaries. But again, maybe I'm not even aware, like you're saying, of some of the boundaries I do set. But I don't think that like I can be an open book and talk about everything. And then when someone else talks about it, I can't be like, oh, please. Do not talk like that, or I don't want to hear about that, you know?
Exactly. No, and I agree, because I'm pretty much an open book too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think people can go too far, like, especially when I was on the radio, there were people who would try to say things about my children. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm up for grabs.
Okay.
I'm out there.
Okay, so that's a good example of setting a boundary.
And I do realize that I talk about my children, but vaguely,
mm-hmm.
you know, like nothing specific. I'm not giving out their address.
Right. Right.
I'm not, you know, but no, you don't get to make those comments about my children. You don't know my children. And it's funny because I was thinking about this, like, yes, I realize I really put myself out there being on the radio every mm-hmm. day, but that was who I call Radio Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody who just knew me from listening to me knows me.
Right.
Like and not that I lied about who I am, but Radio Stacy had to have a bigger life, a bigger personality, stronger opinions.
Right.
More emphatic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like Radio Stacy was an amplified version of mm-hmm. me. I think in person, I'm much more willing to let things go. I don't care about as many things. I don't have as many opinions about things because I'm like, you do you.
Well, a lot of times I think things are like a one-off. You know, like if someone does something... you know, for example, I think I told you the story before, but one time when I was pregnant, a guy asked me if I wanted to know the sex. And I said, oh, sure. Meaning like I thought he was going to guess.
Yeah.
Well, he proceeded to like basically feel my entire body out, to tell me that I was having a...
every time you tell me this
the
story,
opposite
I get
sex
out.
Of what I ended up having. But it wasn't like he was going to do it every day. So, I mean, and while it was happening, I was kind of like, what's happening? And I was like at work and it was like really wrong. But it wasn't like I had to go tell him like, hey, don't feel me up again because, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't think it was going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's probably wrong. And probably a lot of women listening are be like, how could you? But it was in the moment. I didn't really know what he was doing. And people were standing around at work. So it wasn't like anyone else was like jumping in to stop him. But had it been like something like rubbing the shoulders, like,
yes,
you know, now you were smart because you moved, but, you know, I was at a desk. So if someone was always coming up, there wasn't a lot of places I could have gone. So I probably would have said, hey, appreciate it, but I'm not really into like the shoulder rubbing thing. You know what I mean?
Probably,
but when it's a one-off, I think that I walk away sometimes going, okay, what just happened? But I don't feel like I have to address it.
Okay, here's a question. And this is going to lead into you talking about our sponsor.
Okay.
Because this is a one-off. But I do feel like this is a boundary that does need to be addressed. What do you do if you're on an airplane and the person sitting next to you takes off their shoes and they're barefoot and then they cross what their barefoot over their knee? So it's like, right, it's practically in your hand.
No.
Yes.
What?
That happened to me.
The whole ride would be upsetting for me, but I probably wouldn't say anything.
But I think that is crossing a social boundary.
I think it is too. because we have enough germs on airplanes, I don't need someone's bare feet touching me.
Thank you.
Which you're right. It does lead into our seatsitter.com sponsor because planes are filled with tons and tons of germs.
And
even if people keep all their shoes on. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you've noticed this, but after you fly or someone you know flies, they'll come back, they have a cold or they're sick and they always blame it on the recent, you know, travel they did and the plane got them sick because there's so many germs on the plane. And we do so much to keep ourselves healthy, whether it's exercise or eat right. Why wouldn't we do a little extra just to stay healthy on airplanes when we fly? And that's exactly the reason behind seat sitters and how it was invented. This person that invented it, our sponsor, Gina Hohenscheid, was tired of getting sick after flying. So she invented this kit.
I love people that like see a problem and then do something
exactly,
about it.
Exactly, right? And
yes.
She is super passionate about this. I've watched it from beginning to
fruition. It makes
fruition.
So much sense.
It totally does. The seat comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, two sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. Now, of course, you might not use everything in the kit, but you're definitely going to want to cover your seat.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to want to wipe off everything in with the sanitary wipes because those planes are not like wiped down every time between flights. I mean, they're getting people in and out.
Exactly.
You're in the airport. You're watching people get off the plane as 5 minutes later, people are getting on there. So for under $20, you get all that and you can rest assured and fly healthy. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member or get back from a great vacation and become sick. Order your seat sitters kit today at seatsitters.com. That's seatsitters.com.
Set boundaries with those germs.
Right. I was going to start that.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Set boundaries with those germs. Exactly right. But yeah, no, on a plane, I'd probably feel bad because it's not like I'm going to see this person. But then again, I was just saying, it's not like I'm going to see the person again. He's going to do it. But again, why should I not just tell him? Because I'm not going to see him again. And I don't want his foot on my leg.
Well, this was actually a woman.
Oh,
which I thought
her
kind
foot
of
on
made
my leg
it
either.
Worse.
Yeah.
Because I felt like she should have known better.
Why is she doing that?
I don't know. But it was so disgusting.
I was just reading an article where they're saying that some people like clip their nails on an airplane.
What?
Yes. And I was like, I remember I had a manager who I had an office right next to him. And once a week or whatever, he'd come in the office and he would clip his nails. And I could hear him clipping the nails. And it would make me so, I'm like, you do not clip nails in a public place. Our offices are somewhat public. I'm going in there. He's coming in my, can't we just do that at home? In the comfort of our own home, do we clip our nails? I would hope.
So do you, I hear that story and I'm wondering, are people like not, do you think people are less aware of boundaries than they used to be? I'm trying to imagine in the 50s going to work, like when everybody was dressed like madmen with the hats and the suits and the ties and
yeah.
the sweaters and the pearls. And,
yeah, I could never imagine anyone doing that.
Exactly.
You're right. Yeah, I think people are all about like about themselves now. Like if they want to do it, they should do it. And I don't know if I was with you or with another friend, but one time we were at a spa. And it might have been you, but if it's not, don't like stress yourself out trying to remember this. Okay. But we were at a spa. We were in a sauna, and there was a woman using, you know, that thing that sloughs off dead skin?
Yes.
And they're doing that to her whole body. And I was disgusted. I'm like, all your dead skin cells are going everywhere. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm breathing those in.
Yeah, what? And we're already in a sauna, which is bad enough. You're dying of a heat stroke. You're sweating to death. And there's this lady sloughing off all of her dead skin cells.
Wow.
So you're right. I think people are just all about like me. Like, hey, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. I pay to be here. I pay to do this. I mean, you see people that, you know, say that kind of stuff all the time. It's like, yeah, but you've also got other people around you who also are paying to be here. And I'm not acting like that. And that's not like the norm to do this kind of stuff. Like clip your nails on an airplane.
I'm not forcing you to breathe my dead skin cells in.
Well, I mean, that's probably why, you know, there's no more smoking in buildings. Right?
Oh, exactly.
Because, okay, I'm sorry. I'm here to eat my meal too. But you're sitting one. I love when there was like smoking and non-smoking and you're in the non-smoking, but it's right next to the smoking booth. You're like, well, this is awesome.
Exactly.
I'm tasting nicotine as I'm eating.
Like, how does that work? I know. And I do feel bad for people who smoke because they're like set outside like second class citizens.
Exactly.
And I agree. But at the same time, yeah, if I'm not smoking, I don't want to inhale your smoke.
Right. Like I don't sit at a restaurant and start spraying hairspray.
Exactly. Well, some people
could you imagine? People would be like, what are you doing?
I've seen people do that. I've seen women spraying hairspray on planes.
Come on.
Why?
What?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I have no clue.
So,
but I think the boundary setting for me, because I'm going to tell you, I'm right now not going to be one of the people that are able to tell the lady spraying her hair or clipping her nails. Can we not do that? You know what I mean? I'm just.
Well, yeah, I don't feel like I can. I didn't say anything to the woman with the bare foot because what do you say?
Right.
You say to somebody, you're not acting appropriately. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, who are you to say what's appropriate?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And then it turns
into an argument.
And a whole existential, you know, well, in my universe. Mm-hmm. There's no way to come out of that graciously.
No. I think for me, probably setting boundaries with like immediate family members is probably the area where I would see I am doing it maybe without realizing some or that I need to do more. You know, it's like, you know, you hear all the time when people have a roommate for the first time or they get married for the first time. You know, people are leaving shoes everywhere or they don't put dishes in the dishwasher or they.
Or, okay, you know. How about here's an example. You host a certain holiday at your house mm-hmm. every year. Everybody in your family knows it. And yet there's that one family. Everybody brings something mm-hmm. except that one family member
mm-hmm.
who shows up empty handed every time, but eats what everybody else has brought.
Yeah.
And doesn't help with the cleanup. So they're not really participating. They're basically just, it's like they're going to a restaurant and eating for free.
Oh.
And it's a family member.
Right.
Isn't their company enough? Yes. But that's a situation where there needs to be a boundary. Like, hey, we are all participating in this. Mm-hmm. Everybody's contributing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do a lot of work getting my house ready.
Oh, big time.
To have everybody over. And you are just showing up and not.
So what would the boundary be that we set there? Like you set it up as far as like, hey, everyone bring a dish, you know, or if you're coming, you know, if you don't want to bring a dish, I hope, you know, do you say, can you help out with the dishes? You just ask them when they're there.
I think with that, you'd probably have to say something specifically to that person. Like, hey, can you bring a loaf of bread?
Mm-hmm.
Give them a specific job.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they say no, mm-hmm. then you say, that's when you go into, well, everybody else is contributing. Why would you say no?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you give someone a specific job, they're not going to say no.
That is true. And for me, I prefer specific jobs. Like I would love someone to say, can you bring beef tartare or whatever it is, like very as specific as you can be. I love that.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, see, so you do have, I mean, you do have, I mean, we all have boundaries
mm-hmm.
that we accept and set and mm-hmm. enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like feeling comfortable with them, I guess, is the key.
Yeah, I think that my boundaries all are never really said. It's just by the way you act or what you expect from people, like without actually saying it.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's the part where I have a problem. Like when they'll say, like, oh, what boundaries have you set with this person?
Like, yeah.
If I've been in therapy, for example, and they'll say, what boundaries have you set with this person? And I'm always like, I really haven't set any. And they'll say, well, you have to set boundaries. And it's like, it sounds so official like that.
It does, but it's so to me in that situation, a boundary would be, it's not acceptable for you to say this, mm-hmm. which is something hurtful.
Okay.
So it's not for you to call me dumb. Mm-hmm. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for you to call me dumb. It's not acceptable for you to do this. And I think a lot of it is stuff that we think people should just know.
Right.
But you know where you're, like if somebody's talking to you, you know where your limit is.
Yeah, and I guess
that's your boundary.
Yeah, when I was, younger, if my husband and I would get in an argument, oftentimes I might scream out, we should just get divorced. And then he'd be like, I really don't want you saying that. Like, that seems to be your end-all be-all every time. And, like, I would prefer you not automatically jump to that. So I think, like, I can see that now, what you're saying. Like, that's a boundary of his. Like, so I really had to, like, say to myself, I can't keep jumping to that every time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair to him. Mm-hmm. It's not a nice thing to say.
And you didn't really mean
right.
it.
Right. And like you just said, a lot of times you're saying it to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're calling me stupid and, I don't want to hear that anymore, then I'm going to say, you can do what you want. Just don't keep calling me stupid.
Exactly.
Not that that happened in my example, but I know that's an example of what I'm talking about. Like he said, don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I gotcha.
Well, we would love to hear what your boundaries are.
Yes,
let us know. Go to StacyandLynnPodcast.com. Check out our Facebook page. We will revisit this topic again if you guys are interested. Again, we'd love to hear what you think about it. And we will see you next week.